645, 1320 WILS. So part of the reaction to the shooting, and we're going to get more details, of course, about the motivation, what exactly occurred. But the reaction even immediately as of this afternoon has been to talk about gun control. In fact, Governor Rick Scott, when he showed up at the airport, was asked about it. Here's what that sounded like.
Is there going to be a ban on weapons in airports?
Look, this is it's horrible what happened here. It's not time to be political. It's a time to mourn those that lost their life, finish an investigation, and pray for everybody that is still fighting for their life.
Michelle Byington joins us. She's a program attorney at U.S. Law Shield. That's uslawshield.com. Michelle, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, the now, in terms of the reaction to the shooting, which is, hey, should there be a ban on guns in the airports, what do you say to that?
No law would have prevented this from happening. It's that simple. No law is going to prevent an insane person from doing insane things. If there would have been a law that said, hey, airports are completely off limits to handguns, this individual could have easily just wreaked havoc in the parking lot where it is legal to have a handgun. So it is my opinion that you just can't legislate crazy at the end of the day, and no law would have prevented this.
Now, a piece of legislation being considered in Florida would allow anyone with a permit to openly carry guns in Florida state airports. Would that change anything in your view?
You know, the production of a weapon may have been a deterrent to this individual to doing this. However, the flip side of that is he could have very easily chose those people as targets and done this act anyway.
Mm-hmm. So when you see an attack like this, is there anything that can be changed or done to avert it in the future?
Well, I think what we have to look at is look at where these events are happening. And like you said, this person apparently did legally possess the firearm. He legally possessed it in the airport. And all we can do is amp up security, amp up law enforcement in these areas, and then, of course, advocate for lawful gun owners to also carry their handguns so they perhaps stand a chance against somebody who decides they want to hurt innocent civilians.
Now, there was the report, CBS News reported, that he went to an FBI office in Anchorage, Alaska, where he was living, told them he was being forced to watch ISIS videos by the federal government. They took him to a mental hospital. Should that have kept a gun out of his hand, that him going to a mental facility?
Perhaps. So if he was involuntarily committed to a mental institute and adjudicated by a judge as being mentally deficient, then possession of that firearm would have been illegal.
Okay. Now, would that be something that authorities in an airport would know when he's coming through?
Probably not. I doubt that those two systems are talking to one another. I highly doubt that the mental health department there in Alaska had passed on that information to just their sort of federal authority, because it was within, a 24-hour period. So I doubt that information traveled that quickly.
Okay, so are we effective enough in keeping guns out of the hands of someone who may be mentally unstable this way?
Well, it is already against the law for somebody who is adjudicated as mentally incapacitated. It's already illegal for them to possess a gun. Mm-hmm. However, as many of us see, even felons aren't able to possess a firearm. However, time and time again, we see these criminals or people who have mental issues still getting their hands on guns illegally. So at the end of the day, I don't know what other law we could pass that would prevent these sorts of tragedies from happening.
Okay, so the mass shootings we're seeing, in your view, is it just part of life that we have to get used to?
I hate to put it that way. However, there is free will in this world, and crazy people are going to do crazy things. They've been doing it since the beginning of time. And what it is it's up to us. It is up to the individual to be prepared to have a plan of action if we do find ourselves in one of these terrible situations.
Yeah, because part of what you do at U.S. Law Shield, you have an active shooter training program, too. Considering, because he apparently was trained and was aiming in people's heads and you know, killed five people with his handgun alone, is there anything that you should be doing in that circumstance?
Oh, absolutely. if you find yourself in an active shooter situation, actually the Department of Homeland Security has endorsed the run, hide, fight method, which is if you are in one of these scenarios, run, get out of that area as soon as possible so you don't become a target or a casualty. If you can't run, hide, preferably hide behind something that can withstand a bullet, so like a concrete pillar, for instance, which airports have several of. And then, of course, if you don't have that luxury, then your other option to survive is fight. Attack the individual, attack that perpetrator, attack the gun. The swarm method is a good one, which is where you get, you know, five other individuals to attack with you.
But, I mean, the shooting happened within 45 seconds. Do people even know what's happening to react quickly enough?
That's probably not enough time to develop a plan. At that point, you are probably just running or hiding to survive.
Michelle Byington with the U.S. Law Shield. That's uslawshield.com. What do you guys do at U.S. Law Shield, by the way?
We are a firearms legal defense program. I'm one of the attorneys who has the opportunity to represent gun owners all over. And so what we do is we protect gun owners when they are forced to use their firearm in self-defense.
How often does that happen?
Every day.
Every day, really? Like, what's a typical case that you find yourself dealing with?
Just yesterday, we had an individual here in the Houston area who used deadly force against a perpetrator entering his home. And so that is a case that we have taken on.
Okay. So is he being charged in that case?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
On what grounds? Go ahead.
Unfortunately, things aren't cut and dry. So when there's not surveillance video and you have a he said, she said, a lot of times law enforcement will say, all right, we're going to punt this on to a grand jury, present this evidence to a grand jury, and have them decide whether to indict you on felony charges.
I see. Was the person that he shot, was that person killed?
Yes, the individual was killed.
I see.
However, there was another individual in a getaway car who did live.
Okay.
So that's where our he said, she said comes into play.
Michelle Byington, U.S. Law Shield, the website, uslawshield.com. Michelle, thank you very much.
Thank you.